You guys remember Rocky and Bullwinkle? Am I alone that was like my favorite cartoon? I loved Rocky and Bullwinkle. I don't listen, I don't watch it anymore, but I remember no matter when I watched it as an adult, it was still really hip. It was, it always had this like political wit, satire. It worked for a kid, it worked for an adult. And somehow, Rocky and Bullwinkle works for Gaza Corner tonight. It was a pioneering cartoon, and maybe The Simpsons work the same way. It works for little kids, work for adults. But Rocky and Bullwinkle was the first. And they always had two titles. Remember that? They always had two titles for every episode. And in that tradition, so does Gaza Corner tonight. We can either call it The Unintended Consequences of U.S. Failed Military Intervention in the Middle East, or we can call Gaza Corner tonight Sheer Stupidity, the U.S. Role in Fostering Terrorist Groups in the Middle East. We all should know by now the U.S., when it overthrew Saddam Hussein in Iraq, it created the conditions for the Islamic State to be born and to thrive. We all should know by now when the U.S. and the EU combined to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. That has provided the Islamic State with a beachhead in North Africa, the Maghreb. Not to mention causing Libya and Iraq to be failed states. And I still consider Iraq a failed state, even though it has a government right now. The lesser told story is the U.S. proxy war in Yemen right now, where favorite client states, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, among others, have engaged in a war every bit as devastating to the Yemeni civilian population as the war in Syria is to its population. The U.S. is responsible for one-third of the worldwide arms exports, and by far the top arms exporter on the planet is the U.S. And take a guess as to the countries that were the top recipients of American-made arms from 2011 to 2015. Numero uno, Saudi Arabia, followed closely, actually, by the United Arab Emirates. And this is according to research compiled by the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, SIPRI. So here we have a catastrophic war, which was named Operation Decisive Storm by Saudi Arabia, that serves no American interest other than to allow the U.S.'s top two weapons client states an excuse to use its American and UK-made weaponry. So they have a reason to order billions of dollars worth of more killing machines and allow the military-industrial complex to further enrich itself because Congress genuflects to the arms industry. The Intercept, and I link this. Did you have the links up on the playlist now? Yeah, if you go to tangents.com to the KLW playlist in the left-hand column, you'll find links to the stories that helped me to form Gaza Corner tonight. One of them is from The Intercept. The U.S. has, according to The Intercept, additionally sold tens of billions of dollars in munitions to the Saudis since the war began, which was in March of 2015. The Saudis have used U.S.-made aircraft, laser-guided bombs, and internationally banned cluster bombs to target and destroy mostly non-military targets, schools, markets, power plants, hospitals, and it has resulted in thousands of civilian deaths in Yemen. Quoting Nabil Khoury, who served as the deputy chief of mission in Yemen between 2004 and 2007, quote, "The Saudis have been implicated, according to United Nations special panels, in war crimes. Given what we in the United States have been doing to support the war effort, we are implicated as well," unquote. Chaz Freeman, who was the U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia from 1989 to 1992, had this, I think, intelligent comment on the Yemen war, which runs counter to U.S. foreign policy in general. Quote, "I don't think you can restore a government, especially an unpopular one," and I'll just say that the one in Yemen was unpopular, that was overthrown. He says, I don't think you can restore a government, especially an unpopular one, from the air. And I don't think the use of force in this matter does anything but create long-term enmity," unquote. Yemen, which was already one of the poorest countries on earth prior to the start of the Saudi destruction of Yemen 20 months ago, which has reduced parts of Yemen to like a lunar landscape and has killed more than 10,000, uprooted 3 million, left around 14 million people out of a total population of 21 million, two-thirds of the population malnourished, many on the brink of starvation. Of that 14 million figure, 1.5 million are children under five. According to a UN staffer, quote, "severe malnourished children have two prospects, either die or survive, but with stunted growth to become a burden on their communities. We are losing a whole generation because of the war," unquote. He went on, quote, I am a paid salary. I am paid a salary, but I am surrounded by friends and family and neighbors who depend on my salary. This is how society has not collapsed yet, because of the social cohesion. But people are tired, fatigued, and all the alternatives we have are bad. The country, Yemen, is collapsing," unquote. And out of this 21 million population, 8 million of them, 40%, 40, are without income. And while the Saudis' bombing campaign has not defeated their enemy, the Houthi rebels, or solidified the Yemeni government's grip on power, it has been a boon, and this is an unintended consequence, but pretty predictable, actually. It's been a boon to al-Qaeda in the Arab Peninsula. Reuters, surprisingly, published an unusually in-depth investigative piece earlier in the year, which is linked, in which it detailed how the U.S.-backed war, quote, "has helped al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula." I'm going to say AQAP instead of always saying al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, AQAP, to become stronger than at any time since it first emerged almost 20 years ago in Yemen. But the investigation, apparently, that Reuters did was not picked up at all by U.S. television media. And it won't shock you to know, it won't, that the U.S. military has troops on the ground in Yemen right now. So do the British. These quote-unquote advisors are supposedly there to assist Yemeni forces fighting the resurgent AQAP. The fact that Yemeni's population has turned against the United States is easy to understand when you see your country destroyed and thousands killed, friends, family, killed and injured, due to U.S.-supplied and supported bombs. I'll give you one example, and I imagine it can be multiplied many times over. This is from a December 9th, yesterday, an article in The Guardian UK. It's called "Everything is Over Now, The Last Survivors in Yemen's Ground Zero," again linked at the playlist. Abdullah El-Ibi used to live with his four brothers and their wives and children in his father's three-story house. They were a large family, 31 people. Three rockets hit the house. 27 of them were killed. 27. Ebi, his father, and two brothers were the only survivors. Just like in Iraq, in Syria, Afghanistan, airstrikes and drone warfare are the greatest recruitment tools for the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. To quote the UK Guardian's Trevor Tim, this was written before the U.S. presidential election, quote, "The fact that the Obama administration has not only stayed largely silent on the war, but actively supported it behind the scenes should be one of the true scandals of its foreign policy posture toward the Middle East. Yet you can bet the vast majority of Americans have no idea it's happening. As far as I can tell, not a single question has been put to any of the presidential candidates about U.S. policy in Yemen, despite an obsession with covering the war on terror and its latest metamorphosis with ISIS," unquote. At one time during the Yemen war, AQAP ran its own mini-state. It lasted about a year until this past April. They controlled a key port city called Mukalla. AQAP maxed out their control of the city, taking a page out of the Islamic State playbook. They raised a boatload of money. They netted some $100 million by just raiding the local central bank in Mukalla, just as ISIS did in Mosul. Remember, Mosul had a bank, and ISIS just cleaned it out and got lots and lots, millions and millions of dollars. AQAP was able to earn about $2 million, some say $5 million, every day in taxes on goods and fuel coming into Mukalla's port, which is the third largest port in Yemen. One Yemeni security official said $100 million is enough to fund AQAP, again, that's Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, at the level they had been operating for at least another 10 years. And let me just say a quick disclaimer, just to be accurate. I haven't really read any reports that use this, but I do know that AQAP in Yemen is also known as Sons of Hadramaut. I'm not going to get into why or whatever, but they are one and the same, Sons of Hadramaut and AQAP in Yemen. You may recall when ISIS took over Mosul, which is Iraq's second largest city, and now they're trying to get it back, of course. ISIS took it over without a fight originally. The Iraqi army abandoned the city, leaving a huge arsenal of U.S.-made modern tanks and weaponry that transformed ISIS's military capability overnight. Fast forward to Yemen, barely a week after the start of Operation Decisive Storm by Saudi Arabia in March 2015, which was completely green-lighted by the U.S., Yemeni army forces vanished from Mukalla's streets. They moved to other combat zones, and this allowed AQAP to acquire large quantities of sophisticated and advanced weaponry, and they just walked into the city jail. They freed 150 of their comrades, and they were off and running in a major resurgence. But unlike ISIS, they've adapted a strategy to win the locals over in a very much more friendly way. They abolished taxes, for one thing, for local residents. They also make these propaganda videos completely unlike ISIS. They boast of, and it's actually true, they paved local roads and they were stocking hospitals with materials. AQAP was able to ingratiate itself with southern Yemenis who for years have felt marginalized by the country's northern elite. Earlier this year, one resident of Mukalla said, quote, "I prefer that Al-Qaeda stay here. The situation is stable more than any, quote, free part of Yemen. The alternative to Al-Qaeda is much worse," unquote. There are reports AQAP imposed severe legal sanctions in area it controlled, cutting off the hands of thieves and imprisoning and sometimes killing people charged with various crimes. But Elizabeth Kendall, who is a Yemeni scholar, calls Al-Qaeda's strategy in Yemen, quote, a Robin Hood, unquote, strategy. Again, they canceled taxes. They canceled payroll taxes, an area controlled, because it deemed the practice un-Islamic, and it also announced it would repay government workers taxes they had already paid. And Kendall says the populist strategy works. In an article in Al Monitor, a Mukalla resident, Abdullah Dado, said, quote, the group controlled security, provided electricity and oil derivative services, paved new roads, cleaned the city, and exempted citizens from paying taxes. This is Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. In addition to posting videos of the fighters repairing damaged bridges and paving streets, they delivered free medical supplies and equipment to a kidney dialysis wing and a cancer wing of a local hospital. The boxes were sealed with the tape of a Western pharmaceutical company. And they also had videos showing a hospital official saying that he had received money from Al-Qaeda to pay workers' salaries. And according to the Reuters article I mentioned, as I finish up Gaza Corner, they are also less cruel than the Islamic State. The Islamic State kind of revels in showing beheadings and the most gruesome kinds of footage you can imagine to shock people. AQAP doesn't do it that way. And in fact, they don't even resort to mass beheadings. They have generally detained under house arrest army officers and the like, according to activists in Yemen. One Mukalla resident said earlier in the year, when AQAP controlled the city, her life had changed little. We carry out our lives normally. They walk among the people. Of course, they're trying to create a popular haven, unquote. A regional diplomat who follows Yemen said, we may be facing a more complicated Al-Qaeda. Not just a terrorist organization, but a movement controlling territory with happy people inside it. The unintended consequence of the U.S.-sponsored Saudi war in Yemen is AQAP remains powerful right now, flush in money, weapons, and recruits. And as to the war, a local journalist summed it up this way. No one knows how to stop this war. The Saudi coalition have no end game and are just bombing without achieving much on the ground. I'd like to play a couple of Yemeni artists who are new to me. I did a lot of digging online. This is a Yemeni artist who was born in the capital, Sana'a, in 1939, and then was able to move to Israel when Israel had a major effort to bring Jews from other countries in the Middle East into Israel. He went to Israel in 1950 when it was just 3 years old. His name is Aharon Amran. I think he's got an amazing voice. Here he is on Gaza Corner on 91.7. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm